wanted to look at the topic today of healing in the atonement of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, is where we'll start. One thing, and I know that you have heard this and before, and we need to understand and to remember consistently and faithfully, is that the atonement brought by Jesus Christ brought deliverance from both sickness and sin. Both sin and sickness. And that's something that we need to keep in mind and understand and never forget. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says that wherefore as by one man, and we know that's talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here it says that it was death by sin. And I know that death, if you think about what death is, sin was the cause of death. Because of sin, it would lead to, and here the word is the death. Sin was the cause. Death is the eventual result of sickness and disease. And all of that has its root, according to the Bible, in sin. So sickness and death, and these things, they have the root in sin. Therefore, the solution to this sin, to sickness and disease problem, must also lie in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, because we know that it is that which delivered us from sin, which is the cause of sickness and disease. In Deuteronomy 28, in the Old Testament, it talked about the various curses, if you will, that could happen or come upon Israel if they were not to follow God and the commandments of God. And in Deuteronomy 28, the verse that sums it all up, the 60th verse of the chapter, that's all we're going to read. It says, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And there's a whole list there, if you read the entire chapter, about the diseases and the problems. And here it says all of them. They were all going to come. And now look at the same time in Galatians chapter 3. So that was talking about the law, and I know we didn't look into in any great detail, but Galatians chapter 3 is very clear when it says in Galatians in verse 13, it says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Deuteronomy said that all the diseases would happen or come upon them. And here, and that was because of the law. And here it says Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So therefore, he has redeemed us from all the diseases, all the sin, all the diseases. There's not one that got missed. It's all been taken away by the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has bore all of our iniquities. So legally, you know, in God's justice system, we are released from sickness and disease. The sin problem is settled in Christ. And when the sin problem was settled in the work of Jesus Christ, the sickness problem was also settled in Jesus Christ. And we have to understand and remember that. In the Old Testament, when God, you know, talked about the idea of atonement, a lot of times what God does in the Bible is he sets up types, like a type of some pattern in the Bible as a type. And then later on, you see these types go out through the Word of God. And then that type is so-called fulfilled in through prophecy. And that fulfillment, in biblically speaking, is called the antitype. So God set up a bunch of types in the Bible related to atonement. One of them, as we know, is the Passover. The Passover, or the coming of Jesus Christ, was a type. That Passover they did in when they were leaving Egypt was a type of the coming of Jesus Christ, because Corinthians says that Jesus Christ is our Passover. So he was the antitype. In that Passover, we know they all left Egypt, and there was no one sick among them. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. So that type of the coming of Jesus Christ related to atonement occurs a few times throughout the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 30, let's look at verse 20. The Passover that Hezekiah had in those days, it says in verse 20, the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So this Passover that Hezekiah had, and again, you can read the whole chapter. It's a wonderful chapter about the Passover. But the result was that people got healed. So that type that was set up in, when they left Egypt, where deliverance was part of the Passover, carried through. And here in Hezekiah, when they had the Passover, people got healed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 29, now the antitype, Jesus Christ. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, talking about the communion service, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, because people were not understanding or discerning the Lord's body and what it meant, it says, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If they had discerned the Lord's body properly, then they would have enjoyed the healing, the deliverance from sickness, and also a long and healthy life. So that Jesus Christ's work is the antitype of that type set up in the Passover. In Leviticus chapter 25, it talks about the Day of Atonement. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which soweth, which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. You see, the first thing they did was they had done all this work. Then they had the Day of Atonement, and then they blew the trumpets, and then every man claimed his possession. Atonement is followed by claiming possession. That's the type. Jesus Christ, atonement of Jesus Christ was followed by the resurrection, and is followed by us claiming the possession of that atonement. And one of them is healing and deliverance. The same type set up in the Old Testament of how they were to claim their land, their possession. The Day of Atonement of Jesus Christ allows us to claim what he did, and part of that is healing and deliverance. And that is a type set up in the Bible. Now, what exactly does atonement mean? You know, I was thinking about all the terms that we throw around. And they're all very, very related terms. And we have terms like atonement and propitiation and righteousness and justification and redemption. We throw all these around, and they're all very, very related terms. If you just think about what atonement means, you know, if a person makes a mistake, causes a problem or does some wrong, that wrong requires reparation. It requires things to be fixed. You know, Adam made a serious error, not just a minor mistake, a pretty, you know, probably one of the biggest mistakes in the history of man. That problem that was caused by Adam needed reparation. It needed fixing. It needed someone to come along and say, look, this has to be dealt with and fixed. Jesus Christ was the one who was asked to go fix this reparation. He was asked to make atonement for that mistake of Adam, to deal with the problems that mistake had caused. You know, and as part of that, now a lot of times when people make mistakes, they end up paying for it on their own. But this time, somebody stepped in and paid for the mistake Adam had made. And because of that payment, or propitiation, as the word calls it, that mistake was redeemed. The person was bought back into a right standing. He was made just. That's justification. And as a result of justification, you are now righteous. They're all related terms. But it's all through the atonement, the paying for the mistake of Adam by the work of Jesus Christ, that allows us to say, okay, everything's fine now, everything's been dealt with, there's nothing else to deal with. In Numbers is a good example of a person making atonement. Again, another one of the types in the Old Testament of atonement. Numbers 16, verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer. And we read this a little while ago about the things Korah and his company had done. Take a censer and put fire therein from afar, from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. So Moses asked Aaron to make an atonement for the children of Israel. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. They had made a mistake. They had done something wrong that required reparation. And Moses said to Aaron, you make the reparation. You make the atonement for what they've done. And Aaron took as Moses had commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put it on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. Think about how that refers to what Jesus Christ has done. Standing between the dead and the living. Him making available eternal life for all mankind. Here, Aaron stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. Aaron made an atonement. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, another truth that is involved in the atonement of Jesus Christ and the redemption that he purchased for us is that blood had to be involved in it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Remember, he dealt with the law, no longer under the curse of the law. So all the diseases of Egypt, he made atonement. Now we can be healed of any disease. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation. See, all the terms that are all in the same spot, right? It says that, you know, he justified, redeemed, propitiation, made righteous. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How much more blessings are now available to us by his life, if by his death we were reconciled. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The reparation of the sin that was caused by Adam was dealt with by Jesus Christ. And since it was dealt with by Jesus Christ, now we enjoy all that that means. End of the curse of the law, healing and deliverance from all diseases, all sickness, all dealt with by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And Jesus Christ did this once and for all. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 22, in the previous part of 9, talks about Moses and the sprinkling of blood, yet another type of the coming of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Blood had to be shed. Just like in the Old Testament, Moses sprinkled the blood. It was therefore necessary, verse 23, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And the better sacrifice was Jesus Christ. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, but then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put sin away. Ephesians chapter 1. Just looking at verses related to the spilling of Jesus Christ's blood in order to buy the redemption for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redeemed through his blood. Blood had to be spilled. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It is a done deal. We've been redeemed. You know, one of the redemptive names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth thee. You see, the healing in the redemption is something that was a type also in the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ, the antitype, fulfilled that. Now we are healed by the work of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, this truth is prevalent throughout the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. in Isaiah 53. We'll go there. Isaiah 53. We have to understand and recognize, and I think in a lot of times people do understand that, you know, and, well, maybe not always, because people do tend to be sin conscious a lot as well in life, but they do understand that the sin problem was dealt with, and, you know, most people do teach that, that the sin was dealt with by Jesus Christ and the work that he did. But few actually teach or acknowledge that the sickness and disease issue was also dealt with by Jesus Christ. Few understand that in the atonement of Jesus Christ, we have access to all deliverance from all diseases and all sickness. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That word grief is translated many times in the Old Testament as the word sickness. And in fact, this is quoted, keep your fingers here and look at Matthew chapter 8. Just jump over to Matthew chapter 8 for a second. Nothing better than the Word of God itself giving us the interpretation of the Word itself. So when this is quoted in Matthew chapter 8, it's interesting to see how it's quoted. Matthew 8, verse 17, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, which is where we're reading, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The word is sickness. In the Old Testament, the word is grief. That word grief in the Old Testament is translated sickness many, many places. And here the Word of God itself shows us how it should be translated. It should be sickness, not the word grief. Back to Isaiah. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. So both sickness and sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's why that lines up with the previous verse. The sicknesses were on him, taken upon him by himself. Therefore, because of that, by the stripes he received, we are healed. Not only has he dealt with sin, but he has also definitively dealt with sickness. Another one of the types you can look at in Leviticus 16, if you want to, is in the Old Testament they had a scapegoat, and what they would do is they would lay their hands on this scapegoat, where it says there in verse. It says he had borne our sins. They would lay their hands on the scapegoat, and the scapegoat would run into the wilderness, and that's what it's referring to there. And if you want to look at that, that's in Leviticus 16. The fact that they would lay their hands on the goat, and the sin would flee away from them. We have to understand the same truth is true when it comes to sickness and disease. The sickness and disease must go from us. It has no right over the Christian because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. For us to say it still does, we're basically saying that the atonement hasn't been done. It hasn't been dealt with, and that is not accurate. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It had pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. If the Lord has taken all this stuff away from us, then we no longer have to bear it. And if he's taken all the sin and sickness away from us, then we no longer have to bear it. And if we say it's not done, then we deny what Jesus Christ has done. You know, and I was thinking about healing and the atonement of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, the manifestation of gifts of healing was available, was it not? The Old Testament, you can look at men like Elijah and Elisha and these men that operated the manifestation of the gifts of healing. It was there. It was an operation. The only manifestations that were added in the New Testament on Pentecost was speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The other seven manifestations were in operation in the Old Testament. The redeeming and the atoning work of Jesus Christ has made another form of healing available, and that is healing in the atonement of Jesus Christ. The atoning work of Jesus Christ had not been done, and yet still in the Old Testament, God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and the manifestation of healing was available. But the work of Jesus Christ has brought even greater deliverance, even greater blessing than they had in the Old Testament, has it not? In every area of life, the work of Jesus Christ has opened up blessing and deliverance that Israel did not enjoy. And now in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, when you made Jesus your Lord and believe God raised him, you are made whole in every area of your life. Therefore, whenever anything attacks us, any kind of sin or sickness, we have the right to claim the atonement of Jesus Christ and get our deliverance because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. You know, we used to say a lot of times that medicine and doctors are third aid. And what we used to say was, well, the first aid is you going directly to God, which in my mind is the atoning work of Jesus Christ. You go directly to God, what Jesus Christ has done, and you get your deliverance. And if there's a challenge in that, then second aid was where you get someone else to minister to you and use the operation of the manifestation of gifts of healing. And third aid was, you know, as you know, doctors and so forth. But you see how the work of Jesus Christ has superseded, has greatly, you know, increased God's ability to bless man, God's ability to take care of man. In the area of sin and sickness, the atonement of Jesus Christ has brought deliverance and healing that we can rely on regularly and claim regularly because the reparation that Jesus Christ made for the mistake that Adam had caused. And we'll close in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Now, the more you look at the magnificent work that Jesus Christ done, the more you see how many areas of life and how many blessings it has brought to us. You know, it's just overwhelming when you look at all of this and say, wow, you know, it is definitely the greatest work done by any man in the history of the world, and it will have far-reaching effects in many, many ages to come, as we know. So it certainly is a great, great work, and then we know we get to be the, you know, get to enjoy the blessings of all that he did. 1 Peter 2, when Peter wrote, you know, by revelation, this also is from Isaiah, as we know, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." See, both the sin and sickness was dealt with by Jesus Christ. He took our infirmities and healed all sickness and all manner of disease, according to the Word of God. So no one gets missed, and no disease is incurable. Calvary covered it all for everyone, in every situation, every circumstance. You know, that work of Jesus Christ, the atonement of Jesus Christ, is a magnificent work that will bless us here and in the ages to come. So